Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word. This 45th chapter of Isaiah is a very, very important chapter. Our Father basically is letting you know, hey, there was no evolution. Things didn't just happen. I created it. I formed it. I not only formed the heavens and the earth, but I formed people, you, to place here on it. And he's not pulling any punches. And then he goes into detail about how strange people are, that they will take that he has created, a chunk of wood, and whittle a god out of it and worship it. Something they got to drag around and haul around. They have to keep it with them so they can worship it, when if you love God, he'll carry you. Doesn't make sense. But that's what our Father is telling him. He said, I've brought Cyrus. I've named him. It'll be 137 years before he actually comes into being, born even. But he will defeat Babylon and accomplish God's word. If God says it, it's going to happen. You can count on it. So having said that, let's pick it up in chapter 45, verse 14. And that word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, thus saith the Lord, this is your Father talking, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, that's Sheba, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. And there is none else. There is no God. There's no other God. You know, ultimately, this will come to pass in the millennium, especially. And when Cyrus would deliver, there would still be quite a bit of conflict. But this, when people come in chains, it means they're held captive by God. God doesn't need a chain to hold someone captive. They just love him. And that love creates a chain of loving bondage that holds that person's heart. And they follow wherever they know God resides. And naturally, we know that God resides with his children. Verse 15. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They say to him, you work in strange and mysterious ways, Father. And really, he does in some ways, and in some ways he doesn't. And you might say, well, how is it that it's not strange and mysterious? Because he foretells us. Then it shouldn't be strange to you any longer after you know what our Father has prophesied. What he has said is going down. You should be accustomed to that. But most people do. They say, boy, he works in strange ways. I don't really see anything strange about our Father protecting his own and being down on those that whittle a chunk of wood and worship it. That'd be a little bit disgusting to me. Verse 16. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. In other words, they're not followers of God, so they're going to be ashamed. Why? All of them. And what he's saying here, I'll even send them strong delusion. And I told you in the last lecture, it's guaranteed in the New Testament in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, let you believe a lie and send you strong delusion if you want to believe it. He leaves the choice up to you as to whether you follow him or whether you want to go with the traditions of men. Really, there's not much of a choice there when you feel the love of Almighty God and realize he is the maker, the creator of all, not some things, all things. Verse 17, But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. That means eternally. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. That means for those that love him, those that follow him, forever and ever and ever. That means eternal. And that's what you work toward when you let him know you love him. That's not difficult. Our Father is not hard to please. He's very easy to please. All you have to do is try. And he stamps that as just perfect. Now, our Father is about to impart a bit of information to us that is extremely important, that it will open your spiritual eyes to part of God's overall plan that a lot of Bible thumpers just will never see. And they will be confused because they follow traditions that will, in a sense and in essence, make void the Word of God to follow traditions of men. So sharpen up for me and listen carefully. Don't ever forget this 18th verse, okay, of this 45th chapter of Isaiah. Listen to it carefully. Weigh every word and let it sink in. Meditate on it. Think on it. Verse 18 reads, "For thus saith the Lord," this is our Father speaking, "that created the heavens," God himself that formed the earth and made it. Wasn't evolution, he made it. "He hath established it." He created it not in vain. I want you, if you ever learn a Hebrew word, I want you to learn the word vain. It's tuhu. Okay. And it means exactly that, empty. He created it not empty, not void. He formed it to be inhabited. It wasn't waste, it wasn't ruin, it wasn't wrecked. When God creates something, he creates it perfect. It was a beautiful earth. "I am the Lord and there is none else." Now, many people misunderstand in the very beginning, and I'm going to take you there. God created the earth to be inhabited, not to be void or form. He said, "I didn't create it that way." And let me tell you why it came to be void. Tuhu. It came to be because Satan rebelled in the first earth age. And when he rebelled, it brought about the overthrow. And when that overthrow happened, God destroyed everything. That's when it became tuhu. That's when it became waste. The whole secret lies within the first two verses of Genesis. A lot of people will say, well, the scientists say this earth is millions of years old. It is. The Bible says it. It's just that man doesn't listen to our Father. And let's go with it. Let's take chapter 1, verse 1. You're not going to have it, but it's real easy to find in your Bible. It's the first book, chapter 1, verse 1. What does it say? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Period. Now, did it say when? No, it did not. Did it say how long ago? No, it did not. But I can assure you it was millions of years ago. There is no conflict. And he created it then, as we learned in Isaiah 45:18, to be inhabited, not tuhu, not void. Now, listen to verse 2. I will read it as the King James translators translated, and then I'm going to translate it for you as the Hebrew manuscripts read. Listen carefully. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." That's not what Isaiah 18 says, the 45:18. He created it to be inhabited. Now, let's read it as it reads in the Hebrew. "And the earth was tuhu vavuhu." In other words, the earth became void and without form. wasn't created that way. God made it very clear that he didn't create it that way. God doesn't waste his time creating a piece of junk. But when Satan rebelled, he turned it into junk. That is to say, that first earth age, and brought in this one. So the word was, tuhuvavah in the Hebrew, must be translated became instead of was. So, and the earth became without form and void, and so it was. When you read on in Jeremiah chapter 4, God, through that prophet whom he chose before he ever entered his mother's womb, chapter 1, Jeremiah documenting that, the people were rebellious. And he told them in Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with the 18th verse, hey, you mess with me. Once before, I destroyed everything on this earth, and you mess with me again, I will do it again. But then they prayed to him, and he backed off. He did not do that. But ultimately, when he shook this earth, as it is written in Jeremiah 4, chapter 4, when he shook this earth, it wasn't the flood of Noah. It was the real thing. It destroyed every city, every person, everything, every animal. This is why the dinosaur is extinct. He destroyed everything because Satan rebelled and he had to start over. And so it is. So you with companion Bibles, you are very fortunate because you have an appendix in the back of your Bible. It's appendix 146. It's called The Foundations. And as it is written in English, the foundations, the word in the Greek, the verb is katabo. It means the overthrow. And it will lead you and guide you through the scripture as to when that overthrow happened. But most of all, you have to believe God when he says here in the 18th verse of this 45th chapter of Isaiah, Yahweh's salvation. I created the earth to be inhabited, not void. He makes it very specific. I'll read it again. God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain, not in tuhu. He formed it to be inhabited. It was beautiful. It was perfect. This is why when we do documentaries, you can go on a mountaintop in Arizona and find petrified palm trees. Palm trees don't grow in the desert. Well, they did at one time. And you can go down into Texas and hear living proof, thousands of years old. We have one dinosaur tooth in the deserts of Texas. You can see the ivory of this one tooth because he was not a carnivore, but a vegetation eater. He grazed on the lagoons, and they were there. They roamed that area, and you find these remains from thousands of years ago. They existed. And then you can go up further north, where there were dinosaur wrecks, the carnivore, and you see this tooth here that rips and tears, and he was a meat eater. That is also one tooth from thousands of years ago. Well, this brother, you don't understand. The Bible says this earth is only 6,000 years old. That's a lie. The Bible does not say that this earth is 6,000 years old. Quite the contrary. It says there was an age before this one. And if you don't take the blinders off to see and recognize that, you will never understand why we're even here in this second earth age. It's very important. So what do we say? These things are here. We find them. And the artifacts of years, thousands and thousands of years gone by. They exist. And many times when we're on a documentary, there'll be college children come, students will come up to us and say, "Well, are you all a Christian organization?" Well, yes. "Well, what are you doing out here? This is older than 6,000 years." And we have to tell them, yes, we're here because it's here. And the Word of God does not state that the earth is 6,000 years old, but millions of years old. And naturally, this gets their interest. Truth is a beautiful, wonderful thing, but you've got to let God do the teaching. You have to let God do the explaining. So when some Bible thumper, uneducated in the manuscripts, comes in tapping a Bible saying this earth is only 6,000 years old, man has only been on this earth in the flesh for 6,000 years, but there was an age before that. And there is no argument between science, that proper science, and God's Word. They mesh beautifully. The fact that God created the earth to be inhabited, and it was for eons, until Satan rebelled. Satan worked himself up, as we know from Ezekiel chapter 28, to where he, all the way from down to the very top, he was the cherubim that protected the mercy seat. That took some clout, and God left him before he fell. And then pride took over, and he not only fell himself, but he took a third of God's children with him. And God had a choice. He could destroy Satan and a third of his children, kill him. But rather, he decided to destroy that earth age and cause man to be born of woman to make his or her mind up whether they would love God or follow Satan. That's why we're here. It's whether you'll love God or Satan. And God's making it very clear here that there was that earth age before this one, that he created this earth to be inhabited, and Satan brought about the destruction. Fascinating study. If anybody wants to make a further study of it, I have a work titled The Three Earth Ages, and it's a fascinating study. Returning then to Isaiah chapter 45, let's pick it up with verse 19 and continue. God continues, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain." That's Tuhu again. Don't seek me in a void way. "I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." The way he makes the declaration, you can understand those teeth that are artifacts of thousands of years gone by, why God created them. God placed them there in the first earth age. And then you can begin to understand our Father does teach right. If he writes it, if he says it, you can count on it. That's the way it's going to be. Our Father will never deceive you. He will never mislead you. And he said, I don't speak it in secret. If you'll use your brain and think for a moment, you'll be able to understand. And so it is. He said, don't seek me in vain. Seek him head on, with meaning, with love, with understanding, and to know he has a purpose and a plan, and that's exactly how it's going to be. Verse 20, "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations," that means of Cyrus, "that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save." In other words, gather them in. 21, "Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time?" Question. "Who hath told it from that time?" Question. "Have not I, the Lord?" Question. You bet. He's the one. And he has made it very clear, if you've taken the time to read with understanding, and there is no God else beside me, no chunk of wood, a just God and a Savior. That's the secret. He is the Savior. There is none besides me. There is no Savior besides him. That is why he sent Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh's Savior, to save the world, to suffer the cross, that we could have our sins washed away, cleared away, and enter into that world without end with your Heavenly Father. How precious he is, and how wonderful he is, that he lays these things out where really this upsets some people, but he lays it out where a child can understand. If you'll cut loose with all the tradition and listen to your father. Verse 22, look unto me. That's all you have to do. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. There's no other way. And you know something? You have these would-be so-called educated. I don't know educated what to call them exactly. The word I want to use, I choose not to. I will. Educated idiots that try to build foundations 50 feet off the ground saying, well, it all just happened in evolution. Only, you know, a child can understand that if evolution were eternal, a fact, that you would have every segment, every phase of evolution still in progress. It would be non-ending. In other words, you would have everything from amoeba down to the Neanderthal man, monkeys, apes, and all the way through, but then quite the contrary, just as God created, you have the monkey, you have the ape, and you have man, period. There is no evolution. He is the creator. He formed. And that's the end of the story. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. And that is right, not wrong, right. And shall not return, I'm not taking it back, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Naturally, on the first day of the millennium, that's going to happen exactly that way. And our Father knows it. There's just one problem with that in a way. He said, gather them in, it's going to happen, but we know from the teachings of Paul alone and many other places that though many of those that were misled, that whittled a chunk of wood, that disbelieved God, that taught evolution, they're going to be there, but they're still going to have a mortal soul, mortal meaning liable to die, because they didn't make it. And that's where the big difference comes in. The Savior is here today, if you believe, and the truth will set you free. But ultimately, it will come to it, good, bad, and the ugly. Every knee is going to bow to him, but many of them will be unsaved. But they're still going to bow, because they will recognize the living God, the Creator, the former of all things, and they're going to worship him. Do you know what is real sad, though? That thousand-year millennium period goes by, and many of them will still follow Satan at the end of that. After a thousand years, they just get bored again, get deceived again, like to follow old Slewfoot, like to think they're something they're not. They're children of God. It doesn't get any better than that. But they'd rather mess with Slewfoot, Satan. And so it is. But on that first day, every knee is going to bow. Verse 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. They really will be on that day. Verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. That means judged. And shall glory. Some of them will, and some of them possibly won't. Judgment is a strong thing, and judgment belongs to our Father. That is one of the most powerful chapters in the book of Isaiah. There is more history and more explanation of history than you will find in many chapters of God's Word. It is your Heavenly Father letting you know, hey, I don't hold anything back. I don't talk in secrets. I don't talk in dark places where you can't understand it. I'm right up front here, right out in the open, declaring to you how I created this earth and how it was. And do you know something? Science cannot argue with what I have said in this lecture. Science, quite the contrary, backs it up. The artifacts I have shown you are only a part of what we have documented throughout this country. Our Father is a fantastic Father. He is the Creator. He is the Savior. And it is He that gives us basically His time plan, the first earth age. It's a wonderful feeling to know that there is no contradiction between science, good science, and God's Word. That God's Word is true, and our Father knows exactly what He's up to. He doesn't do anything in secret. He does it right up front. Chapter 46 is the downfall of Babel. Downfall of Babylon. This is why God surname Cyrus, was to defeat Babylon, to defeat Nebuchadnezzar's offspring, to bring in the prince of Persia, which would be Cyrus, who would rebuild Jerusalem for our Heavenly Father, his most favorite place, as it is documented in the 16th chapter of the great book of Ezekiel. And that's what this chapter is about, is the downfall of Babylon. Chapter 46, verse 1, we'll go a verse or two. Baal boweth down. Baal is short for Babel, okay? Nebo is the god of learning. It is the prime of Nebuchadnezzar's name, okay? Stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden, or loaded even, if you would. They are a burden to the weary beast. You haul those idols around and drag them around, and it even kills your cattle almost to drag them. That's what confusion and Babel will do for you. And many people today load their minds up with traditions of men that are such a load to carry that you're never going to see the truth of the entire time and especially the end ages. If you carry that junk around with you, man's traditions, rather than listening to the truth of God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, He's giving you an example here of what idol worship and false worship and men's traditions will load you down with. Verse 2. They stoop. He's carrying them to the ground. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. But themselves, that's to say their souls, are gone into captivity. Cyrus is going to take them. Why? God ordered it. He's going to take them captive. They're going to lose it. Verse 3, hearken unto me. You listen to me, God says. O house of Jacob and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Not some wagon load full of dumb idols. But when you believe on me, you don't carry me. I carry you. It's important that you get that point. God is saying, Baal worshipers, they have to drag around their chunks of wood and junk, traditions of men that load you down. But if you listen to my truth and my understanding, from the womb, I carry you. And instead of you having to carry junk, he carries you. It's easy to be successful that way. Verse 4, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. Even when you're gray-headed, from birth all the way up, I'll be with you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. You won't need some ox cart to carry a bunch of junk around. I'm going to carry you. God looks after his own. Hey, it doesn't get any better than that, friend. You've got a choice. You can follow the traditions of men. You understand what Babel is. It's confusion. And there are a lot of people in Babylon today without being in Baghdad. Okay, which is about 60 miles, 67 miles, somewhere along in there, away from Babylon of old. But basically what it means is confusion. And don't ever forget the scripture. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And when you simply follow him and allow him from babe to senior citizen to carry you, he loves you. You're his child. He never forgets that. And he's there. You don't have to pack all that junk. You've got the beautiful Father to take care of you. Don't ever forget that. Take his word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Listen to your Father. He will always bless you, but you got to listen to him. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or religion. Let's don't judge people. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always such a pleasure hearing from you, all right? Now, you got a prayer request, you don't need the number or an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. All you have to do is talk to him. That's what he wants from you. You remember in chapter 43, I believe it was verse 26, if my memory doesn't fail me, he said, hey, put me in remembrance of my promises to you. And come and let's plead together. Let's talk about it. That's what he wants you to do, is talk to him, okay? Don't write a bunch of stuff out. Just talk to him from the heart. Let him know, first off, you love him. And then claim the promise. Talk to him. Father, around the globe, we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct. We reason with you and plead with you, Father, to touch, lead, guide, and direct. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, and questions. We're going to go with Heather from Washington. Are the priests of God only able to teach the house of Israel or to all the people during the millennium? You have two types of priests mentioned in the millennium. You have the regular priest and called Levitical priest, and then you have the priests that are called Zadok. You will read of them in Ezekiel chapter 44. And it pretty well gives you the duties of who can teach who. But they do teach all children, okay? The kings and queens teach, and it will be a time of teaching. But Ezekiel 44 will kind of let you know which priest has the right to go to which person. Barbara from Arkansas, I would like to know why God's going to put the earth back as it was if we will be in a dimension other than this one. I want to live here on our same earth, just beautiful. Well, it certainly is, but he didn't say he's going to put it in a different dimension. He's going to put us in a different dimension, okay? And when we look at shots by our exploratory vehicles that we send out to the moon and other places, and they turn around and take pictures back of this earth, it's the only planet that is so beautiful. I mean, it would just to see it makes you want to live there. And when what you got to understand, when he puts it back to its original form, there's no storms. You don't have these tornadoes that we had the other night. Why? Because there's no jet stream. The firmament, the reason the lakes are dried up is the firmament returns to where it originally was, protecting this earth forever. And what a time that is. Our Father knows what he's doing, okay? We will be in a different dimension, but we're still going to, this earth is his favorite place, okay? Sarah from Oklahoma. This is a question. Do you think the 7,000 very elect will know each other in the flesh before we are changed? I thank God for your TV pro and your recordings. Well, thank you. You're welcome. I asked the Lord to let me be a member of Shepherd's Chapel. I feel like I am a member. Do I need to do anything? No, if he said you're okay, that's okay with us. You see, Christ is the one that chooses memberships, not us. So if he proved you, you're in good standing. The 7,000 knowing each other, I'm sure that in the first earth age they would have, but here now, not necessarily. But you can know them because you can talk to them, and they understand what you're saying. They know and understand God's plan, so it's real easy to identify them. Ruth from... Minnesota. I have a question. God gives gifts to people, but is it possible that some don't have one? I don't know what mine could be. God has been very good to me, but I don't feel I have a special gift. Well, Ruth, that's kind of normal. I can tell by the humble way that you present this question, you got a real gift. Okay. And I'll bet people really love you for it. But one of the main things is very soon, as it is written in Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2, his sons and his daughters, as it is written in Mark 13, are going to be his witnesses. That's a gift. That's a gift of gifts. And I know you know the truth, and I know you're ready for that. And you don't get much of a better gift than to have the Holy Spirit speak through you, as Mark 13 declares. Rebecca from Georgia. I heard over the radio that a dinosaur skeleton was found in Argentina in 1970, 5 inches long, the size of a chipmunk. Is this possible? Sure it is. You know, a dinosaur has very much the same, especially a dinosaur rex, has very much the same bone structure as, say, an ostrich, okay, a big bird. All right, the same toes and so forth. Interesting, not doesn't mean they are, okay, or that they ever were, because they are exactly as God created them. But he created all sizes of dinosaurs and sea monsters. I call them monsters, animals. God loves his creatures, okay? The University of Nebraska has a fantastic display in their museum. Michelle from Idaho, I was baptized many years ago, but I fell out of step with the Lord and I've been disobedient. I have repented and I've been forgiven. Do I need to be baptized again? I would like to be baptized again. Thank you. You know, if you want to, no harm done, but you don't have to. That's what repentance is about. You know, when you were baptized, if you knew that you were being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you were making that public statement, I don't care who baptized you, it was strictly between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, our Father, and the Holy Spirit. That's it. And so I'm sure that just because you went bad for a while or were disobedient, as you say, and repented, that's erased. It's blotted out. It's not there anymore. So it doesn't exist. So you would be rebaptizing yourself for something that doesn't exist. Gary from Oklahoma, I keep thinking about 122,000 people from each of the 12 tribes. I don't know why it keeps sticking in my mind. Where did I read this? Is it in the Bible and where? Thanks. Well, not as you're saying it, 122,000, but you will read in Revelation chapter 7 that 12,000 from each of the tribes, making 144,000 of God's elect, are chosen. Revelation chapter 7. Martha from Kentucky. And I really get a blessing from your teaching. Keep up. Well, we're going to do it. My question is, I was baptized some time ago by a preacher that fell from grace. I'm a Christian and I still believe in God with all my heart and soul. My question, do I need to be baptized again? I always want to be in the will of God. You're in good shape. You know, the preacher's falling or being bad doesn't have any. He had nothing to do with your baptism primarily. Okay, that may offend some preachers, but that's true. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, and our Heavenly Father. And you were baptized in good standing. And men fall. Okay, but that's his problem, not yours. So you need not be concerned. When you knew the meaning of your baptism, his falling has nothing to do with putting anything against your baptism. It is complete. Again, if you feel that you need to, no harm done, but at the same time, and sorry that you lost your husband. That's a tough old ticket, and we'll be remembering you in prayer about your finances. Rita from South Dakota. I have had my ears pierced since I was 2 weeks old. I even forget that they are pierced. I wear small gold hoops, I think that is. Is this a sin? It doesn't mean anything to me. I love your Bible studies. Keep them. Well, actually, if you were only 2 weeks old, you didn't have much choice in it, did you? It's what's in your heart and mind that counts, okay? And things in moderation. Melanie from Alabama, what is your opinion of the Dead Sea Scrolls? They're fantastic. I enjoy working with them, and they have been out of pocket for so long, there are sometimes things about it that I question. But be that as it may, by that I mean the good stuff. I won't say any more than that about it. But any artifact, any redocumentation and proof is a good witness. Stoney from Oklahoma. My 13-year-old son goes to a church for kids at night when they study and discuss the Bible. Recently, the youth minister was teaching about Adam and Eve and how they were the first on earth, and out of them came all the races. They later had a discussion on this subject, and my son brought up the fact that the six-day creation being the different races, and also where did Cain's wife come from? Instead of trying to answer him, the minister sent a letter home to me trying to explain how Adam and Eve were the only ones at first, and that anything else is speculative, and if there were humans other than Adam and Eve, it would cause problems, and that kind of speculation distracts people from the core message of the gospel, or could cause serious error through that kind of speculation. And if it were of any importance for us to know, that God would have told us clearly, as he does with other things. He did in the manuscripts, okay? Now, my son likes going there with his friends, and I don't want to stop him from going because they are still positive reasons for him to go there. But I told him not to discuss these things with them anymore because it offends them in their own church. Did I do the right thing? You did the right thing, Stoney, and I'm real proud of your son. That's fantastic. That, you know, I am so very proud of the youth in Shepherd's Chapel that they know the truth and they don't mind sharing that truth. But you see, what is really sad about this is here's a youth minister, and he would choose rather to be blind than to do a little research. Because you see, if you say that all races came from Adam and Eve, genetically, that's impossible. It won't fly. And the fact that God created all the races and he looked and it was good, this does away with all racial tension, misunderstandings, and how that all are God's children, and how he created each of the peoples and loves them. But then, and the same way, then you know where Cain took his wife from. And your son, is you could be real, very proud of him, but it is true that when we visit another church, it is you. I often use the thing, if you go to someone's house and they serve you peanut butter and crackers, you don't throw it on the carpet and stomp it and say, I just can't stand peanut butter and crackers. You just don't do that. You either don't take the cracker, or if you enjoy them, you eat it, okay? But when you're a guest in someone else's house, you protect your credibility, and your son did real well. I'm Gene from Georgia. Question, during the millennium, what happens to the corpse where we change into the whole spiritual body, being that we will have to deal with the earth the way it is? Well, I got some good news for you. 99% of all the people that have passed away, their corpse has already turned back to dirt. It's already dirt, and it's not. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says it's gone. We don't remember it anymore. Doesn't have anything to do with us, and it's gone. So if you read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, that's the flesh body. But then when you read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you find out what happens to the spiritual body. Ecclesiastes is a book written to the man that walks under the sun, meaning a flesh man, and how we can find peace of mind in these flesh bodies and how to control them and get along with them. And so it is. So there you have it. Don't ever worry about dust, back to dust. That's it, period. Okay. This is Lois or Lori Lois from Iowa. My question is, when Jesus set foot on this, will Jesus set foot ever on this earth again? Of course he will. Okay. This is his favorite place. Revelation chapter 21, verses 20 through 24 document that. Okay. Also, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 documents his return. Many places declare that he will do that. Rosemary from Nevada, I'm 6 years old. Why did David pick up 5 stones and used 1 to kill Goliath? He wanted, number one, 5 is the number of grace, okay? But at the same time, David, this is not the first time he'd gone into combat. David was a shepherd alone for weeks after weeks after weeks, and there were lions, there were bear. And he knew to always have enough ammo to get the job done. Okay, so but he was an expert, so it only took 1. But he sure had the other 4 in case they were needed. Okay, he was just being careful. But hon, the main thing that you want to remember, and it's why Jesus would say, "Out of the mouths of babes," it was what came out of David's mouth as he marched towards Goliath, what he said to him. He said, "You may have the sword and blah, this, that, and the other, but I have the Lord Almighty God with me." And boy, did he ever. Janet from Pennsylvania, question. I know when a bad spirit is around and how to get rid of them over our Lord Jesus' help. With our Lord Jesus' help, he loves us that much. But isn't good spirits around also? Is it when you feel a peace within you? And how can I improve that spiritual inner man that Paul talks about? By accepting the Holy Spirit. The good spirit is the Holy Spirit, okay? And yes, it is a warm sensation. You can always feel him. And our Father is a consuming fire. And his Holy Spirit is a warming spirit, and very comfortable, and very reassuring, okay? Lane from Oklahoma, Pastor Murray, you have taught me so much. Thank you so very much. You are welcome. When Satan deceived Eve, was this the first world age? And was the tree Satan himself? Is this what God told her not to touch? That's right. There were 2 trees in the garden. The tree of life, of course, is Jesus Christ. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is Satan. These bodies are the trunk, and these are the limbs. And the word naga is touch, is to lie with a woman, as it is utilized in that particular chapter. It did not happen in the first earth age. It happened in this earth age. It was Satan's attempt to block the birth of Christ through the woman. Okay. And God wouldn't tolerate it. He stopped it. It would also be Satan's second attempt when he would send the fallen angels to all the daughters of Adam to block the birth of Christ, ultimately, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. That didn't work either. God always intervened in that lineage, that key of David. Wayne from Jersey. Question, do you believe in the Bible codes? No. You know, it is a matter of semantics. I can take a computer and tell it to search a vast number of writings. And it's going to find what I want it to find, ultimately, by putting this letter here and that one there. But that's not the Bible, I shouldn't call it code, though, but the Bible manuscripts had what is called the Masora. And the Masora, there is a small Masora and a major Masora along the pages placed there by Nehemiah and Ezra. When they locked and fixed the scriptures, where man can't change it. You can't change the meaning of anything because it's locked in. If you want to go to that depth, okay. And that's the code that is in God's Word. And the Masora has many things that it locks in and messages delivered, even down to the sacred name. Not given for man to interpret, but interpreted by God and written by God and locked into the scripture whereby man can't change it. Brian from West Virginia, you had said on one of your programs, Cain went out and found a woman and got married. There was a man whom wrote in about Cain marrying a woman from a distant land. His question was, where did that people come from? Adam and Eve were the first to be created. Then you answered, there was a six-day creation. My question is, where is that written in Scripture? Can you please reply? Absolutely. It's written in the first, second, third chapter of the great book of Genesis. But you've got to go to the Hebrew to get it. Okay. On the sixth day, God created Adam. On the eighth day, he created Eth Ha'adam. It's a different man. Okay. So that's why we have the different races. He created all the races on the sixth day, and then on the last day, eighth day, he created Eth Ha'adam, through which Christ would come. I am out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it, makes his day. When you make his day, he's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. One thing most important, though, and it truly is, that you stay in his Word. Every day in his Word is a good day. Even when there's trouble, still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's